This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
A lot to get to, a lot to talk about on this 4th of July, that's for sure. I know they call it the dog days of summer, but yeah, still a lot going on. Tom is producing the show. Tom, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Anita. How are you feeling getting up this early for probably, I don't know, the first time, and I'm assuming a long time?
No, actually, I actually get up pretty early.
You do?
Yeah, my body clock is, I'm up. I'm usually up at like 4:30, 5:30 in the morning. So, wow.
that makes one of us here today. This is not my normal like body clock right now. At 5 a.m.
So body clock wise, yeah, I'm good. I just, you know, I don't normally, when I do fill in, it's typically the 7 p.m. show. So, I'm sure that this is a much different audience than what I'm used to. So, and also, of course, it's 4th of July. So, you know, not sure how many people are up this early on a holiday. But nonetheless, excited to be here with you guys and gals for the next 3 hours. Like I said, a lot to get to. It is 4th of July. So what does that mean? Of course, is the hot dog eating contest with Joey Chestnut trying to win 15 in a row. You know me, hopefully you know me, if you don't, one of my wheelhouses, because right, does that even make sense? Like when someone says like my wheelhouse, Tom, does that mean like, is it, they only have one, should you only have one wheelhouse?
No, you got to be multifaceted. Like if it's up your wheelhouse, it's up your alley. Like, you know what you're talking about.
And by the way, who came up with these phrases? Like a lot of times do you say a phrase and you're like, what does that even mean? Like, of course we know, like, it's in my wheelhouse, which means that, you know, it's something that it's up your alley, right? Like it's something that, you're good at, or at least if you claim it's your wheelhouse or you claim it's up your alley, you should be good at it, right?
I would certainly hope so. You know, that's what you think going into it. But I mean, you know what they say, fake until you make it. If you say that's up your alley and you don't know what you're talking about.
My mom says that. I don't. Well, we know what that means. But anyway, so I contribute on Daily Wager, the gambling site and show, and for ESPN. So anyway, because I had somebody, I know we talked about this yesterday on the show, and so someone said, you're actually gambling on Joey Chestnut in the hot dog eating contest. This might surprise some folks. Do you know 7 figures will be wagered on Joey Chestnut in this hot dog, in the hot dog eating contest today? And by the way, because now where we have more and more, states that are becoming more and more legalized, and it's a lot more easy. You know, you just download the BetMGM app or whatever, you know, wherever you gamble. And so I'm sure that there'll be an unprecedented number of people who are going to be gambling on Joey Chestnut and the hot dog, Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest today. So anyway, there's that. There's a lot of baseball being had. We're going to jump into some baseball talk, both about the Yankees and the Mets. Unfortunately, the Yankees lose to the Guardians yesterday, 2-0. For the Mets, not only do they win, so now they take 2 of 3 from the Rangers, but also some really great news about Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. We're going to dive into that. We are going to talk a little football today. I don't know about you, Tom, but I feel like whenever we hit, it's twofold. I always feel like whenever we hit Father's Day, and then of course following Father's Day is 4th of July. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a fast track to the NFL starting. Right? I feel like that's my barometer. Like, I'm like, oh wow, it's Father's Day. Oh wow, it's 4th of July. before we know it, football is going to be. I just feel like as soon as 4th of July hits, it's like, we're right into football.
Yeah, before we know it, it's going to be Labor Day. Like, once we hit the summertime, like, everything goes quickly because you want to be out and about doing whatever you want, going out with friends, hanging out. And once you're having fun, time flies. Another saying, time flies when you're having fun, while we're on the subject of random sayings today, Anita. So
yeah.
I think that's just what makes summer summer, is it goes so quickly, and inevitably, that means the NFL is coming up soon, and of course, that should make anybody excited.
That's for sure. So we'll dive into the Giants, into the Jets, you know, maybe a little preview, talk about some of the hot storylines out there as well. The latest on Deshaun Watson. I think, you know, we should know what's going on with Deshaun Watson. Of course, his disciplinary hearings took place this past week. And so Sue Robinson is going to have to make a decision. And of course, that decision, more than likely, and it's being reported, should come down before camps open. So Cleveland has an idea of what they realistically can expect. Will they even have Deshaun Watson for this season? So a lot to dive into. Phone lines are open and will be for the next 3 hours, 800-919-3776. We'll hear from Bobby Marks and all that good stuff. Also, there's a, this is fun. There's a, if I don't know if, when I go to Twitter a lot, like I'll go to Twitter and a lot of times, like I'll go to the search engine and I'll find out, like, I like to look and find out what's trending. So Heinz, which by the way is, you know, hopefully that's the ketchup you use, right? Heinz has Heinz Art Burger. It's a hashtag. And so for 4th of July, people are sending in like what they're like an art burger, right? Like, so, you know, something, creative when it comes to a burger, not just your usual like cheeseburger with lettuce, tomato, onions, you know, ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, pickles, boom. Like, you know, do you put a egg over easy on top? Do you put French fries on your hamburger? Do you put onion rings on your hamburger? All kinds of avocado, all kinds of fun stuff. So, not sure if you've seen that yet, but it is kind of cool. And I'll share some of these with you throughout the show just to give some folks some idea. Because, again, it is 4th of July. What do you typically do on a 4th of July? People like to barbecue. And I think you and I had this conversation, right? Like, I have a hard time at 4th of July barbecues because I don't like to eat when I'm hot. Like, if I'm hot and I'm sweating and I'm like, and it's really, really warm out, the last thing I want to do is eat. So, like, I don't understand barbecues.
We did have this conversation a few days ago, Anita. Like, I don't, like, I understand, like, you don't want to eat, like, hot food maybe when it's, like, 90 to 100 degrees outside. That's one thing. But there's always, like, cold food at a barbecue, too. You can always have maybe, like, a potato salad. I like coleslaw. I know a lot of people don't like it for whatever reason. I find it delicious. There's probably other cold stuff too, just not coming to my mind, but I mean,
yeah, obviously. Yeah, I know that. And there's usually salad. Somebody prepares a salad. You're right. There's, you know, potato salad, macaroni salad, coleslaw, all, like, and typically that's all cool and cold, but that's not why you go to a barbecue.
No, you go there to have
to have a hot dog, a hamburger,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Like, see family and maybe ignore them if you don't like your family. I hope that's not the case, but I mean, if that is the case, then you're there for the food.
So, anyway, again, Anita in for the fellas this morning, 800-919-3776. So let's dive into, let's start with what's going on with the Yankees. And I feel bad. You know, I'm like, all right, we want the good news or the bad news. Let's start with the bad. And unfortunately, of course, like I said, the Yankees lose to Cleveland yesterday, 2-0. McKenzie, who was the starting pitcher for the Guardians, pretty much shut down the Yankees. 7 innings, only 1 hit, which, by the way, Judge had 0 home runs in this series, just FYI. Here's the thing. I've been saying this for a while now. And you know, and we'll okay, a few things. Let me set it up properly. The Yankees lineup struggles when it goes up against strong right-handed pitchers. Okay? Go back. If you've got some time, do your due diligence. Look at the matchups. Right? McKenzie, strong right-handed pitcher. Came in. 7 solid innings. 1 hit. Go back to that Astros series. Granted, yes, the Yankees split. But the Yankees really did not start getting into those games and have the success that they did in the 2 games that they beat the Astros until they got to their bullpen. And granted, yes, bullpen is part of it's part of the equation. Of course it is. But against and again, I'm just going back to that Astros series against Garcia. He only gave up 3 hits, 1 run. Verlander, 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run. They lost 3-1. Javier, again, the Astros series. 7 innings. They lost 3-0. 0 hits, 0 runs. In fact, that was, if you recall, that was the game where I want to say they went into their bullpen. I think there was like two or three other bullpen contributors who helped the Astros pitch that no-hitter against the Yankees. Go back to the A's. If you recall that A's series, Sears gave up three hits, 0 runs. Now the Yankees did win that game because they had success against the Oakland A's bullpen, but they won 2-1 against an Oakland A's team that's probably the worst in Major League Baseball. So I just shared those stats with you, and you know, you could even go back even further, but it's important because, you know, we're sitting here, we're talking about a Yankees team that's 58-22, and I know the biggest criticism is, well, you know, who have they played? And I've defended that, and I will continue to defend that. You know, the Yankees can only play who they play. I mean, you know, it's not like they made a, it's not like they're a college football team and they're in charge of their own schedule in essence. Right. And so you get these Alabama and Clemson and Georgia teams that play these mid-major, as I like to call them, universities in college football, and pay them a gazillion dollars for a butt whooping. That's pretty much what they do. But, you know, let's be honest, this to start the season, the American League East wasn't great. the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, they struggled to start the season, but as of late, they've been pretty spot on. The Red Sox, they're 44-35, as well as the Blue Jays, they're 44-36. Now, granted, this is a Yankees team. They've got a 13.5-14 game lead on the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. Are they going to catch up to them? Probably not. Right? Like I'm banking the Yankees win this American League division. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay? Now, could it get close? It could. I mean, listen, this is a Yankees team as well that has been very fortunate to stay healthy for a good part of the season. The majority of the season, honestly. So, but there are still, I want to say, over 30 games left against American League opponents, and quite a few against the Red Sox. And of course, quite a few against the Blue Jays. But I think out of every other team in the American League, I think there's more games to be played for the Yankees against the Red Sox than any other team. So the American League East opponents, that's going to be more difficult than it was to let's say to start the season for the first half of the season. Granted, we are close to, I mean, it's, I know it's, it, we still have a month, right? Like it's July 4th. The trade deadline is August 2nd. So it's a month, but the month is going to, we just talked about how quickly the NFL season is going to get here. This month is going to fly by. I think it's going to be really important to see Brian Cashman and this team does to go out and to get some help. Of course, the bottom of the lineup is not great either. Gallo 0 for 3 last night. He's got a 1.65 ERA. Hicks 0 for 4 last night. He's got a 2.21 ERA. So obviously the bottom of the lineup needs some help, but again, the middle of the lineup where the bread and butter is with this team when it goes, you know, Judge, Stanton, Donaldson, really, really, really crucial that they get better against strong right-handed pitchers. I know they've been knocking the cover, the snot out of the ball. But go back and again, look at their record against right-handed strong pitching, good right-handed pitchers in Major League Baseball. They struggle. And that's going to be an issue when they get it, when this team gets into the postseason, let alone, because let's be honest. At the end of the day, it's about winning a World Series for the Yankees. I keep on hearing that clip with Greeny talking about his friend who's a big Mets fan. I think you could say the same, like, it's World Series or bust this season for the Yankees. And based on the numbers that we have, would the Yankees go up against the teams that they're going to play in the postseason? It's not as overwhelmingly dominant as we see this Yankees team when they go up against teams that don't have a great starting pitching rotation. So I'm intrigued. I'm interested. All the reporters that we've had on the show, we had Christy Eckert from the New York Daily News on yesterday. Everybody we've had on says that Brian Cashman is going to be, as I like to call it, active and attractive as we get closer to the trade deadline. So I'm really intrigued who they potentially can go out and grab. Anita Marks in for Rick and Dave this morning. Phone lines are open, 800-919-3776. You want to chime in on the Yankees? Now's the time to do so. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Are your concerns as deep as mine are? You know, I didn't even really start talking about the Yankees rotation, which Nasty Nestor, as I like to call him, and we all like to call him Nestor Cortez, had a few rough innings, but really shined against the Rangers, right? You know, is there going to be, this is a long season, is there going to be some regression to take place with this pitching rotation? Typically, you know, there's an ebb and flow to a baseball season. You know, it's hard for starting pitchers in Major League Baseball, not just the Yankees, but in general, to just continue to be as dominant as they are all season. It's few and far between, right? There's an ebb and flow. There's peaks. There's valleys. Of course, we saw Nestor pitch a beauty of a game against the Rangers. Hopefully, those two previous games were his lull. Now he's back on a high. Can we expect the same from Gerrit Cole? Will he continue? I call it a whiffmeister. Will he continue to be a whiffmeister? Severino. So a lot to dive into here.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Anita Marks in for Dave and Rick this morning. Here's another thing in regard to Judge. You know, I think sometimes we forget that he's 30 years old. He got a late start, jump into the bigs, Major League Baseball. Also, only twice in his big league career, he came up to the bigs around 2017, not the start of the season. So 2018 and on was a full season, full seasons for Aaron Judge. Okay. So from 2018 till now, he's only had prior to the season. So from 2018 to 2021, Aaron Judge only had two seasons where he played more than 115 games. On top of the fact that he's 30, I think this was a big reason why Cashman offered him that 7-year, $213.5 million deal, which at the time everybody thought was a really solid offer from the Yankees. Of course, now after this season, Aaron has just been tremendous. More than likely, he's going to win the American League MVP and break a ton of records and have a number of teams come after him, throwing him somewhere around $300+ million to sign with them. So yeah, that 7-year, $213.5 million isn't looking so great right now with a number of the Yankee fans who I recall, Tom, not sure if you were working with us at the station at that time or if we were working together, but had a ton of Yankee fans call into the show. What? How can Judge turn that down? It's such a great deal. Yeah, I mean, for somebody who's 30, let's be honest, in Major League Baseball, what do you know, if you look back and you look at the statistics, typically Major League Baseball players start statistically falling back down to the average batting average, home runs, RBIs around 37, 36, 37, 38. So for somebody who wants a 10-year deal, you know, the back end more than likely, more times than not, is not going to pay off for the Yankees or whatever team does end up signing Judge. If, of course, it's the 10 years that he's still demanding after the season, which why not? If he was demanding 10 years before the season, after this season, he could probably demand whatever he wants. But the point here, and we just heard from Booney and how he handled Judge and him not being in the starting lineup. Of course, we saw him come in to pinch hit, but nonetheless, you know, I think the way that the Yankees handle Judge moving forward after the All-Star break, knowing that the big picture here is winning a World Series, I think is really crucial and really, really important. 800-919-3776. Let's get to your calls. Let's go to Asher. Asher, welcome in. Good morning.
Hey, Anita. Good morning. How are you? Happy July 4th.
Thank you. You too.
Hope all is well. I just wanted to jump on the comment you made before about, you know, everyone says the Yankees have an easy schedule. And you, as you pointed out, they can only play who they can play. But I think in reality, the majority of teams in Major League Baseball, and especially in the American League, are really not that great. I mean, you look at the Astros, and you look at, you know, some of the teams in the AL East, even though they're, you know, 13, 14 games back, they're, you know, scrappier. And then the Yankees have typically always owned the AL Central. There are just not that many great teams for them to play in the first place. Maybe the NL has a couple more, but, you know, they're playing the NL Central this year, which is probably one of the weaker divisions overall. So I just don't understand the claim in the first place.
You don't understand the claim?
I don't understand why people are saying, you know, the Yankees have an easy schedule. They're playing the teams that they play. I'm just saying there aren't that many great teams in Major League Baseball to begin with. So I'm saying, like, you know, there are a couple of great teams, and then everyone else is either in the middle or on bottom. So I just think that, you know, when people say that about the Yankees, it's really kind of an overblown statement, I think.
So pretty much what you're saying, Asher, is that the state of Major League Baseball isn't good, period, across the board. It's not just the opponents that the Yankees are playing.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I think that's fair. I mean, obviously, you know, obviously, you know, and let's just like in regard to their division, right? Again, slow. Here's what's concerning to me, right? And that is, the American League East did have a slow start. Yankees came out, you know, hot as ever. And they were fortunate to do so, and that's why they have a 13.5 game lead up on the Boston Red Sox. But the Boston Red Sox have been playing well as of late. Same with the Blue Jays, you know, and the Rays. I mean, the Orioles, you know, that's a whole other story. I lived in Baltimore for 4 years. That team is an outlier. I mean, it's insane that ownership group. You know, it's like they're making money hand over fist, losing, being the worst team in the American League each and every year. And they get money from all the other Major League Baseball teams. So there's no incentive for them to invest in their team. It's not about being a winner for the Baltimore Orioles. It's about the Peter Angelos and that family just making money. That's a whole nother topic for a whole nother show. You mentioned the Central. Right now you've got Minnesota at the top of the Central. They're 45-37. You know, yes, the Yankees did win the series against the Cleveland Guardians 2-1, but Cleveland's not, you know, they're not that bad of a team. The White Sox, I think, should have been a lot better than what they are this season. There were a number of people who picked the White Sox to potentially win the World Series this year. They're sitting at 38-39, so they're having a subpar season. They've been struggling. Their starting pitching rotation has under-delivered this season, that's for sure. And then, of course, you've got the Tigers, and the Kansas City Royals are just god-awful. In the West, obviously, it's all about the Houston Astros. Really, that's what it comes down to. Seattle, better than I expected them this season. There were a number of people who thought that Seattle would be a quote-unquote sleeper team this season competing. And so, you know, they've done well. You know, are they challenging the Astros? No, Astros, same in a situation as the Yankees are, up 13.5 games above the Mariners and, of course, the Rangers as well. What about the Angels? Outside of Ohtani and Mike Trout, what do you got? Not much. Not much, really. And it's unbelievable, right? Because these are two of the best players in Major League Baseball. You can argue that Trout and Ohtani are the two best players in Major League Baseball. They're on the same team, and they're 37-44. Astros have a 15.5 game lead on them in the West. So there's that. And then, of course, we know how bad the Oakland A's are, but it's really interesting. The Oakland A's have the Yankees' number. So they're 26-55. But they always play the Yankees well. It's interesting. It's interesting the way the A's, and at this point, let's be honest. At this point, because the Yankees have the best record in Major League Baseball, right? Like they're 58-22, so they've won 7 more games than the Astros. They're the target. So whenever this happens across the board, this isn't just the Yankees. This isn't just Major League Baseball. You know, this is every sport. You know, team comes in, like I'm sure in the NFL, teams that play the Kansas City Chiefs elevate their game. You know, whether it's the Detroit Lions, who have no chance at all, let's say, of beating the Kansas City Chiefs. You know they're going to come, they're going to bring their A game. There's going to be a little something special. There's going to be a little added motivation because it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Same thing, I would imagine, with the Yankees in Major League Baseball. You know, whenever there's a series, teams are always going to bring their A game, play with a little bit more added motivation, a little bit more swagger, a little more aggressiveness, pitch a little bit harder, hit a little bit harder. Anyway, looking at the National League, of course, you've got the Mets at the top of the National League East, 49-30. Thank goodness they won yesterday against the Rangers. Carrasco pitched over a little 5 innings, 6 hits, 1 run, had 8 strikeouts because you've got an Atlanta Braves team. Now, same situation, I'll tell you, same situation for the Mets as the Yankees in their division. It's just the Mets don't have that monster of a lead They're only 3.5 up to Atlanta, who they lost their last game, but they've been playing well. They've been hitting, they've been batting extremely well. I want to say in the last 2 months, the Atlanta Braves have the best batting average in their lineup, even better than the Yankees, better than any team in Major League Baseball. So Atlanta's starting to get hot. Philadelphia won their last matchup. They are 7.5 games behind the Mets. So this, thank goodness, you've got Scherzer, who's coming back on Tuesday to pitch in Cincinnati. And then some great news in regard to DeGrom. After the All-Star break, good thing the Mets are going to have both their aces back in this rotation, because Atlanta and Philadelphia, they're knocking on the door. They're creeping up. And so it's a big, big, big get for the Mets to make sure that they have both DeGrom and Scherzer back in action after the All-Star break. Milwaukee 46-35, the Cardinals 44-37. So they're battling out in the Central. Pirates, forget about it. You can argue Pirates an even worse team than the Oakland A's. The Cubs, the Reds as well. And then, of course, you've got the Dodgers, the Padres, only 3.5 games behind them, the Giants, 8.5 games. But really, when it comes to the West, it's all about the Dodgers. When it comes to the National League, again, you know, it's interesting looking at the National League and looking at the American League. You could sit here and say it's going to come down to the Mets and the Dodgers. Who's going to win that to advance to the World Series? And the National, in the American League, it's going to come down to the Yankees and the Astros. Who's going to win that to advance to the World Series? You're right. The parity in Major League Baseball. I'm sitting here. I'm looking at the records. I'm trying to, you know, I do a lot of handicapping. So I know a lot of these teams. I know their rotations well. I know who their top batters, their top hitters are. So I'm looking at the landscape, the total landscape of Major League Baseball. And you're right. There's just not a lot of parity here, right? Padres pushing the Dodgers. Okay. Going to battle it out between the Brewers and the Cardinals in the Central. The Mets, again, this will become, in my opinion, the most competitive division in Major League Baseball after the All-Star break, because, again, you've got the Braves and the Phillies that are knocking. They are also teams that started slow. The Mets started hot. They had a great lead. They still have a solid lead, but it's going to get dicey the second half of the season. Don't doubt that. And you're right. In regard to the Yankees, same thing. They just have a 13.5 game lead over the Red Sox, so they've got a lot more cushion there than the Mets do in their division. But yeah, I mean, there's just not a lot of parity. That's for sure.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Happy 4th of July, everyone. Hot dog eating contest taking place a little bit later on this afternoon in Coney Island. I actually have a play in that. That's right. Over 7 figures are going to be wagered on Joey Chestnut and whether or not how many hot dogs he eats. So stay tuned. I'll end the show with that. Also, since it is 4th of July, on Twitter, there's hashtag Heinz Art Burger. And folks are tweeting about, you know, their most creative burger. Like, for example, here's one for you. Tom's producing the show this morning with me, by the way. This is the burgerish, I can't even pronounce it, Burgercus Maximus. This is the Burgercus Maximus burger. Organic beef burger topped with homemade ranch sauce, ketchup, sweet canned jalapenos, brown sugar, caramelized onions, cheese, lettuce, bacon, tomato, avocado, and a toasted buttered bun.
See, that sounds delicious, but you lost me instantly when you said
with the jalapenos.
Organic. No, with the organic burger. Like,
why?
So when you say organic burger, does it say it's like a veggie burger or like other than like a beef?
It doesn't. It doesn't. You're thinking the Incredible Burger.
I'm thinking exactly that. And those.
You're thinking the Incredible Burger. I think.
No, I was just going to say I do not like those like veggie burgers.
Have you
like
tried? Which, by the way, have you tried the Incredible Burger? It's pretty incredible.
I don't believe so.
Have you tried it?
I have tried it. Yes. I don't know.
I don't know. You stumbled there. You were hesitant. I don't know. I don't know. You might be lying. I don't know if you've tried it, Tom.
Well, you know, I could get a lie detector test in here, but I don't have access to one. So you're just going to have to trust my word that I did have one. But I'm not a fan of it.
Here's another one for you. This is the Cajun burger.
All right.
1/4 grass-fed beef patty topped with crispy lettuce, tomato, cheddar, beer-battered onion rings, remoulade, Heinz bold and spicy Texas barbecue sauce, and a fried egg on top. Whoa.
There we go. The only thing missing from that is bacon. That would make the burger absolutely perfect. That is my type of burger right there.
Anyway, so I'll be sharing these throughout the show, trying to give, helping people out. I don't know, maybe some fun recipes for later on this afternoon at your barbecue. 800-919-3776. Talking all things baseball as we have this first hour. Allie, I'm going to get to your call in just a second. 800-919-3776 if you want to jump on board and talk about the Yankees. I've got a Mets update for you as well. We're going to hear from Bobby Marks. We're going to talk some NBA, some other teams now being reported that potentially could be in the mix for KD. So we're going to get into all that. So stay tuned. Let's go to Allie, by the way, wants to talk about Judge. Allie, welcome in.
Hey.
Hi, good morning.
It's good to hear your voice on this Independence Day.
Thank you.
Before I get into my point about Judge, you know, baseball's direction obviously is to increase offense, which I think they're doing very well with, you know, implementing DH in the National League. You know, I know they want to do without the shifting where, you know, each player, whether they'll have to be in their defensive spot, which will create more offense. And they want to do with the computerized strike zone. Right, so they can be more accurate where, you know, those pitches where they maybe hit the outside the strike zone where the umpires call strike, you know, they'll do without that. And what I think that's going to mean for the hitters is they're going to see more strikes, right? It's going to make the pitchers throw more into the strike zone. Now, Aaron Judge, I heard a stat where he's been called more strikes on balls, I think, the most, like a crazy number since he's been in the league. That there's been more strikes called on him, those low breaking balls that go below his knees that have been called strikes. So what is that going to tell you? If they implement that rule where, all right, the umpires are not going to call a strike, right? They'll have it where they can computerize it, where they see it. Okay. He's going to, and listen, the guy's got a great eye. It's going to increase his offense. His on-base percentage, his numbers are just going to go up offensively. So the Yankees are just going to be crazy not to give this guy a big contract. I mean, look at the guy, his demeanor. Not a controversial guy. Family man, married now. Seems like he's the type of player that you're going to get at least 4 great years. And then the tail end of his contract, you're still going to get productive years. He'll be a good mentor for the younger players coming in. So, listen, I mean,
Allie, here's the thing. Let's go back because we just kicked off hour number two, talking about Judge's contract. We had a caller who just called in not too long ago and said that he was having a quote unquote argument with his friends who are all Yankee fans about Judge's contract. And I guess many feel the way Allie does right now in that Judge wants. And the big holdup in regard to him not signing with the Yankees wasn't just because of the measly. Now we look back, right? Like before, let me ask you this, Allie, before I continue. Before the season started and the numbers came out, 7 years, 213.5. In all honesty, what was your reaction to that? Did you feel like, wow, why wouldn't Judge sign that? That's a fair offer.
I thought it was foolish of him, you know.
Not to sign.
I often wonder, you know, do the Yankees look at it where was on the IL at some point, maybe he misses 4 weeks. They can use that as leverage. Well, you know, Judge, you missed 4 weeks, so, you know, I don't know if we can, you know. I'm not saying they want that to happen, but listen, I admire what he's doing. He bet against himself. I mean, is incredible.
Well, he bet on himself is what he did.
It reminds me of when Jeter went through that contract.
But Ali, I was curious, and don't go anywhere. I don't want you to hang up. I was just curious what your reaction was when Cashman.
He would sign it. I thought it was a fair deal. I thought it was a very
right.
fair deal.
And
he's the best player on the team, no?
You and a number of other Yankee fans. I mean, and again, Tom, I don't remember whether or not you were with us here on 98.7 ESPN. If we worked a lot of those shows together when Cashman revealed to the world what the Yankees offered Judge at 7 years, 213.5 at that point in time. Cashman, the Yankees obviously felt it was a very fair deal. Big reason why he released it at a press conference, which is a big no-no. General managers, teams don't normally do that, but nonetheless, now that deal is looking, ridiculous compared to the season that Judge is having. But here's the thing, Ali, this is a microcosm of, the big picture here. The big picture here is that Judge is 30 years old. If you're going to give him a 10-year deal, that's going to go till he's 40. And if you're going to give him a 10-year deal of Trout money, you're talking anywhere between $35 to $40 million for 10 years. And chances are, again, I'll go back to the history of Major League Baseball players. Where does their demise start? Where statistically do we not see them?
Here's the bottom line, and here's the bottom line. He's such a remarkable player. I mean, he's a potential Hall of Fame player. Would you agree on that?
Yes, but what I'm saying, I hear what you're saying, Ali, but what you're saying is pay Judge because he's the face of the franchise. Pay Judge because he's going to be a great mentor for the younger kids in the farm system that are coming up. Pay Judge because of what he's doing now, 10 years from now. But here's what the problem is, Ali. When the Yankees aren't competing 10 years from now, because now they're strapped, they're handcuffed, good old Daddy Steinbrenner isn't alive anymore with the endless pockets that we see with Cohen over there in Queens. So you're saying pay that man his money right now, but in 10 years or 7, 8, 9 years from now, when the Yankees aren't as competitive as the Mets or other teams in Major League Baseball because they are strapped because of the deal that they agreed to with Judge, then what are you going to say? Ali, you called into the Sports Talk Radio show 10 years ago and said pay him.
We'll be strapped, though, in 7 years. If they're paying him $45 million in that seventh year, you think the New York Yankees are going to be strapped?
Ali, why do you think that they'd be reluctant to do it? I mean, listen, you hit on all the positives,
well,
right?
Judges, I think history shows, I mean, they realize. I mean, look, you look at all these contracts. Look at all these baseball contracts. I don't think they're worth any of them. I think all these guys, it's crazy what they get paid. And then every contract, name me a baseball player that at the end of their contract, that is like you say, well, he was worth it. I can't find any. It's never worth it. But it's for the now. That's what it is. You want them for now. And if it's going to make him happy,
I totally disagree with you. And I appreciate the phone call. I'd love to hear from other Yankee fans or just Major League Baseball fans in general. 800-919-3776. It doesn't always. There's only a certain percentage of contracts that play out that at the end of the deal, you're like, wow, it's a lot of money for not a lot of production. Normally, typically, more times than not, Ali, a contract comes to an end or is coming to an end and a player's got one more year left on the deal and they renegotiate the deal or they redo the deal or they extend the deal. That's 80% of the time, okay? If not more, 85% of the time. That's typically what happens with contracts and deals. Why? Because a team doesn't want to get in. Why wouldn't the Yankees want to pay Judge 10 years, $40 million? You hit on all the positives, right? Like, good character guy. You just said he got married. That's news to me. Never in trouble, face of the franchise, and just a phenomenal baseball player. So why wouldn't the Yankees want to pay him 10 years, $40 million to keep him? Because they're looking down the road. They've got to look, forest for the trees. They've got to look big picture down the road. You don't want to be paying Judge $40 million a year when, he's batting 218 at the age of 40, and now what? you know, there is a tax. There is somewhat of a cap in Major League Baseball. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the organization and Cashman and those that crunch the numbers are looking down the road. And don't want to be in a situation, want to be, you know, the name of the game is to continue to be competitive in Major League Baseball. So that is the reason why I'm sure the Yankees aren't calling up every Brinks truck that imaginable here in the tri-state area and just delivering to Judge's backyard. But nonetheless, again, do I feel that the Yankees should pay Judge? Absolutely. But you don't want to be paying Judge 10 years from now for what he's doing now. You've got to be smart about it. And I do believe our first caller who called in, I apologize, I don't remember his name, but our first caller who called in, I think he hit the nail on the head. You know, if you feel that Judge is worthy of Mike Trout money, which Mike Trout makes $36 million a year, okay? And so let's just say, you know, let's say pay him more than Mike Trout. So let's say you're going to pay him $40 million. Just make it for a 7-year deal. Seven year, $40 million for Mike, for Aaron Judge, I think is a very fair, reasonable deal for the Yankees. But again, I will share with you, and we've got a number of people who want to chime in. I'll get to your calls in just a second. This is an outlier year for Judge, okay? Only twice since he's been called up to the bigs full-time from start to finish for the season has he played more than 115 games, okay? It's a long season. Let's go to Joe in the Bronx. Joe, you're up. Welcome in. Good morning.
Good morning, Anita. How you doing? Happy 4th. You know, Anita.
Happy 4th, you know, to you, too.
At the end of the day, you know, they should pay Judge. And a lot of these contracts always don't necessarily work out on the back end. But, you know, if Judge is there and they happen to win one, maybe two World Series with Aaron Judge, then it's all worth it. And I agree with you. The guy hasn't showed you that, he can play 150 games a year. And now, not only are they not, he hasn't played 150 games, can he play 150 games a year playing center field instead of right field? It's a big difference, you know? I mean, he's having a tremendous year this year. Somebody's going to pay Aaron Judge.
I mean,
and if it's...
But listen... But Joe, that's another great point you make, right? And that is, you're talking about 10 years. He's not going to be able to play the outfield for you. You're talking about a dude that's going to DH for you.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, that's the beauty of the DH. Or maybe if they transition him to first base, which I don't see that happening. But, you know, at the end of the day, Judge, what he's doing this year, and I'm a diehard Yankee fan for over 50 years. This team has flaws, man, and I want to see what Cashman's going to be able to do at this deadline. I'd love to see them get the kid Benintendi from Kansas City and move Joey Gallo out and you know, give Andujar a shot to play somewhere else. But as far as Judge, I mean, you know, if they don't pay Judge, this city will, if, and it, God forbid he goes to Queens, it will not fare well in the Bronx. I'll tell you that. But somebody's going to pay Aaron Judge. That's just the nature of the beast in sports, you know.
Oh, so, absolutely, absolutely. Somebody's going
to
pay.
I always love listening to you. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Joe. I was just asking if you were listening to me when I opened the show this morning. I know we've I don't want to call it derailing because we're still talking about the Yankees, but everybody wants to chime in on Judge and his contract. But really, that's really what I opened up the show with. You know, unfortunately, the Yankees lose to Cleveland 2-0. McKenzie shut down the Yankees. Another starting pitcher, right-handed, strong throwing right-handed pitcher, shutting down the Yankees. 7 innings, only 1 hit. And so you're right, Joe. You know, as great as this Yankees team looks, 58-22. Best record in Major League Baseball. You know, there are flaws here, and especially in this lineup. towards the bottom. Of course, we know what time it is with Gallo, 1.65 ERA, 0-3 yesterday. Hicks, 2.21 ERA, 0-4 yesterday. That needs to change. I've had a number of reporters who cover the Yankees who've been on with me the last few weeks who said that they do expect Brian Cashman to be active and attractive in free agency as we get to the trade deadline. Not free agency, but as we get closer to the trade deadline and improve the tail end of the lineup. And but here's the thing. What do you do with Gallo? Who wants Gallo? You know, we had Christy Ackert, who writes for the New York Daily News and covers the Yankees. And she made an excellent point. I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this. And that is, you know, with Gallo, maybe it's a mental thing in regard to the pressure playing in New York and playing for the Yankees. And so maybe change of scenery, going to a team that's, you know, doesn't have such hefty expectations. There's not so much pressure every time you step into the batter's box. Maybe that would be good for Gallo. Maybe teams will look at that and say, you know, this is just something between the ears. Get him out of New York, get him to Detroit, get him to Cleveland, get him to Cincinnati, get him somewhere else, and maybe he could perform better. I don't know. And Duhar played in that doubleheader against Cleveland and did well. That was a spot start for him. Maybe that was an opportunity for him to shine. Maybe they package Andujar with Gallo for a trade for someone else. I don't know. So that's you know, so you're right. And in regard to the other, and not that I'm going to say this and people are going to be like, what are you talking about? That's not a hole. You know, when you go, you know, Judge, Stanton, Donaldson, that part of the rotation, listen, they're struggling against right-handed pitchers as well. They just do. So you're right, Joe. There are holes in this team and in this lineup specifically. Let's go to Don. Don, welcome in.
Hey, Anina, how you doing?
Love good morning. The show. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. I just wanted to remind. I haven't heard this a lot. Everybody's worried about how many years Judge gets on his contract. Mm-hmm. But what about the 3 and 4 years that he was making only $500,000, and he made the franchise. He made his name. Nobody's going to pay him back for that.
That's not how franchises continue to win or be successful. And the way that deals are done for athletes when they start their career is to benefit the franchise, is to benefit the organization, and it's payoff for an organization who drafts well. You know, the organizations out there that draft well, they need to be commended on that. And that's why the rookie deals, not just in Major League Baseball, but in the NFL and across the board, that's why, you know, players typically don't get that big signing until they sign their next deal or, you know,
exactly.
or when they start performing. So you don't go,
exactly.
you know, as
that's
an organization to have success,
out.
Don, you don't go back and pay a player for, you know, the lack of money that they made when they weren't performing this way. You just, that's not how it works. That's not how an organization is successful.
I understand that, but that's why the players hold out for 10-year contracts. So they can finally get paid. That's my opinion. You know, it might be good or right or wrong, but, you know, I think they should pay them, keep them.
Don, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. Listen, I'm with all our callers this morning. I think the Yankees should pay Aaron Judge as well. My point is, instead of 10 years, you're the last 3 years of that deal, you're really going to be handcuffing the organization, the franchise, and you're probably like, you know, who? That's 10 years from now, but. It's a big deal.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, as when I opened up the show and we talked about it, and of course heard Bobby Marks dive into it as well. You know, the challenge here is to make both KD and the Nets happy. And I'm sure you're sitting back and going, what are the, you know, KD and these guys screwed over the organization. What do they care about making these guys happy? But so that everybody could be somewhat of a winner here, you know, you've got to find the right mix, and everything from Bobby Marks and a number of other people talking about trading Kevin Durant, there's going to have to be more than likely a third party get in the mix to make sure everybody's healthy, because KD wants to go to a team that can still win now. And obviously the Nets want everything, you know, plus bag of chips back because of everything that they gave up and what they sacrificed to bring in the big three that, as we know, is no longer going to be here. And unfortunately, the way that Kyrie and his situation is playing out, you know, the Nets really are strapped. I mean, you know, he wants to go to the Lakers. He's letting everybody in the world know he wants to go to the Lakers. So teams aren't knocking on the door to the Nets wanting to trade or give value to Kyrie when they know they're only going to get him for 1 year. If it's a team outside of the Lakers, and he probably won't be happy either going there. But of course, reports are that a deal more than likely is going to get done between the Lakers and the Nets. They're just ironing it out. So what does that mean? Does Westbrook come to the Nets with a slew of picks? From what I understand as well, the Nets want to, I love Joe Harris. I know he was injured this season. We didn't see a lot of him, but I like him a lot. Apparently the Nets, the reports are they want Joe Harris in his contract. I want to say it's like $36 million as a part of the deal to go with Kyrie, just to get that money off the books. The Lakers don't necessarily want Joe Harris. They'd rather have Seth Curry. So we'll see what happens there. But more importantly, as I teased before we went to a break, a new team in the mix for KD and a potential landing place for that trade with the Nets, but an old team. Let's listen in. This is Marcus Spears.
The one team I'm telling you guys is keep an eye on is the Golden State Warriors. Golden State could have the best package for both parties. Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga, All-Star Andrew Wiggins, and former number two pick James Wiseman. What the Nets want is they want a young All-Star or perhaps a future All-Star. They're all under 30. They also want picks, maybe the ability to swap picks. But if you can get those four players, if I'm the Nets, I'm very, very happy. And for Kevin Durant, the Warriors, they're very familiar with, and vice versa. Like, he knows where to live in San Francisco. He knows how the offense works. He knows he could win a championship there. Yeah, he and Steve Kerr would probably have to figure some things out. But with each passing day that this carries on, I've heard the Warriors have interest in terms of a young haul, in terms of people being happy on both sides. To me, the Golden State option is the best option.
So interesting, right? And a lot to unpack there because of the way that it ended between KD and the Golden State Warriors. You know, much of, you know, who's the alpha. You know, KD did get an MVP, right? One of the years, the 2 years that they won a championship, KD got one of the MVPs. Iguodala got the other. This past time, of course, the Golden State Warriors winning the championship, and it went to Steph Curry, and rightfully so. But you know, and by the way, Spears was on Sunday morning on ESPN Radio when he reported this, or not reported this, but this is, you know, his take, and he's on to something here, because again, here's what the problem is, and that is making sure that both the Nets get what they want and KD is at a goes to a team. Now, KD does not have a no trade clause. So at the end of the day, you're like, Anita, what are the Nets got so screwed here? What do the Nets care to make sure that Kevin's happy? Well, because he wields so much power because of how great he is. You know, you don't want to, first of all, I don't want to be a team that's going to give up a ton of draft picks and key players to have KD come to my organization and be miserable. How is that beneficial to me? And that's a huge risk for me to bring in a player, because, you know, we see what happens when players don't want to play for a certain organization, right? I don't want that drama in my locker room. I don't want that on my team. I don't want to trade for Kevin Durant if he doesn't want to come and play for me or my organization or my franchise. So yeah, so there is a rhyme and reason there to make sure that all parties are happy. But you look at Phoenix, what would Phoenix have to give up in order to make that trade happen? You know, Booker, and I know you can't have Booker and Ben Simmons on the same team. I'm sorry. I'll do anything to get rid of Ben Simmons if I have an opportunity to get Devin Booker on my squad. Okay. You know, I'd move mountains, and I'm sure the Nets could do the same. You know, Cam Johnson, like, you know, if you think about sending KD to Phoenix, you know, a number of the important parts that are there to win a championship are going to have to come to Brooklyn. So that's not going to work. Same thing with the Miami Heat, right? Bam and Hero possibly. And KD doesn't want to go he wants to go to Phoenix. He wants to go to the Miami Heat, but he wants to go there to make sure that the important parts that are part of that roster are intact. That's going to give him the best chance of winning another championship. So, but when you look at the names that were mentioned with Golden State and a possible offer there is the best package. Spears is right. Jordan Poole, fantastic. Wiggins, there was a part of the series, this NBA championship series against the Boston Celtics that I was just like, man, does Wiggins deserve to be the MVP? He's so good, and he balled out in this series against Boston, and don't get me wrong, Curry was absolutely worthy and deserving of winning the MVP, but you know, it was worth the discussion because of how great Wiggins played in that NBA championship game. Or that NBA championship series. Kuminga and, of course, Weissman, who we didn't see a lot of this season because he was injured. That's a really great package along with a bunch of ones. You know, that's probably I would say that's the best offer out of all the possible, you know. Everybody's playing GM right now when it comes to this KD net situation, right? Like if you're on social media, whether it's Bleacher Report, ESPN, Fox, CBS, whatever, you know, everybody's trying to play, you know, play GM in regard to, oh, how does this trade look? How would this work for the Nets? Would this be a fair trade for KD? Out of all the ones that I've seen, I'd say this is the fairest in regard to what the Nets get back, and also KD heading back to the West Coast, San Francisco, playing for the Golden State Warriors with, of course, Steph, Klay, and Draymond Green. Now, reports also were out there that KD's demand request to be traded escalated because the Golden State Warriors won another championship. You know, and as Spears said, you know, some mending fences with him and Kerr as well as Green. And don't forget, go back to his Achilles injury. You know, I'm sure that there's still, I would imagine, I'm not sure, I would imagine that there's still something there in regard to, you know, Kevin Durant. He had that Achilles issue. His doctors reportedly were telling him that he wasn't ready to come back in play in the postseason. The Golden State Warriors doctors were saying, you're okay, you can play. He comes back, he plays, he re-injures, he gets injured again. So so that obviously, I would imagine, didn't sit well. So there's that. There's his rocky relationship with Draymond Green, whatever exists between him and Kerr. So there's a lot of mending fences in order for this to transpire or for this to happen. And maybe it's unrealistic because there's just too much that needs to be repaired for KD to go back to Golden State. But at the end of the day, based on the let's put on our GM hat, quote unquote, and see what the potential trade offer could be and what players could be in the mix. To me, hands down, this is the best offer in regard to what the Nets can get back. Hands down. Because a lot of the other stuff I've seen is just, Especially, again, if you want to make sure everybody's happy. KD goes to a team that he feels he could win now with, and the Nets get exactly what they deserve back in the trade to think long-term, big future with a lot of young 23, 24, 25, 20, 26-year-old players that they're going to be able to win with in the next 3 to 5 years. What say you? 800-919-3776 is the phone number. If you want to get on board, now's the time to do so. I'm with you until 8 a.m. this morning. So another 20 minutes here on 98.7 ESPN. Really quick, Dollar Shave Club. Have you ever had to shave and so noticeably smooth that people want to touch it? When a friendly pat on the cheek turns into a full-on cheek rub, obviously this is for you dudes. It's kind of a shave of a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor you can get. The Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor brings noticeably smooth shaves with 6 stainless steel blades for swift hair removal and a lubricating strip that keeps things smooth. The Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor is here to get that chin noticed, and it comes at a fair price. Dollar Shave Club razors are sold at dollarshaveclub.com or in stores. Again, that website, Dollar Shave Club razors are sold at dollarshaveclub.com and also in stores.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.